SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Sahil Makkad from SBS. Today, I'm joined by Associate Professor Deb Friedman. Professor Friedman is Deputy Chief Medical Officer in Communicable Disease with the Victoria Government. Welcome to SBS, Dr. Friedman.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Friedman, how serious is the monkeypox situation in the country?
So in Australia right now, we've got 80 cases of monkeypox, and they've been steadily increasing over the last 2 months. So I guess when you compare it to conditions like flu or COVID, there's obviously far fewer cases, but we can see that the case numbers are increasing nonetheless.
Is it evolving into a serious situation?
It's evolving into a situation that we need to be very watchful of. It's most people are not at risk of acquiring monkeypox. For people to acquire monkeypox, they need to have prolonged contact with a person who has monkeypox. And obviously, you know, there's only 80 cases in the country. So, you know, that's not going to be a concern for everybody. But it's something that certainly within public health that we're watching very closely because we want to protect people.
When you say it requires a prolonged contact, so what do we mean by a prolonged contact? Does it mean that when I'm traveling on a train and I get in touch with the person who has monkeypox, so will I get the monkeypox just like the coronavirus, or I need to be in touch with that person for half an hour or 1 hour, something like that?
That's a really important question. You need to have prolonged and usually intimate contact. So it would usually have to be a whole day and usually very intimate and close contact. So it's not going to happen on public transport. It's not going to happen by casually walking past somebody. And it's not going to happen by having a meal with somebody. It requires very prolonged and intimate contact.
Let's say if a person is infected with monkeypox and I shake my hand with him as, you know, routine gesture on a daily basis. So does it mean that I will get the virus, or by shaking hand, it doesn't mean that I won't get it?
It would be almost impossible to get monkeypox from shaking somebody's hand. It would be extremely unlikely, and I cannot imagine that happening. And I don't think that that's happened anywhere in the world. So it requires intimate, prolonged skin-to-skin contact. And when I say skin-to-skin, I don't just mean hand-to-hand, but I think a lot more skin on your body.
So does it mean, like you said, it needs to be an intimate relation? Let's say if a mother is hugging her child, you know, breastfeeding and keeping the child longer in her lap. So does it mean that the child can also get infected during this process?
So we know that there has been some transmission within, not in Australia, but overseas, there's been some transmission from parents to children within a family. And that's usually, as you mentioned, very young children that require very close contact. That is possible. But if we have a case of monkeypox that has children, we would certainly give them all of the precautions that they need to take. That's not happened so far in Australia, but we would obviously provide all of the important messages to them about what they can do to prevent transmission.
So which group of people are at most risk of getting this virus and infection?
So it's anybody who has very intimate contact with a person who's got monkeypox. Right now, it appears to be mostly in the gay and bisexual and men who have sex with men community. That's where we've seen transmission take place, but it could occur in any networks of people where there's intimate contact between two people. So it could occur anywhere. We just have seen it within one particular community so far.
Why it is restricted to a particular community? Why can't it happen between a wife and a husband, you know?
It certainly could happen within a wife and a husband, and it has happened in other countries. We have not seen that yet in Australia, but it absolutely can happen. So it's any intimate relationship between two people that has skin-to-skin contact, you know, man to man, woman to woman, mother to child, father to child, all of those are possible.
So how are we preventing this virus from spreading? Do we have vaccine available in the country?
Yeah, we do have vaccine available. It arrived at the beginning of last week. We're very fortunate to have gotten vaccine because there's a global shortage of this vaccine. We have put this vaccine into many different medical clinics and into some hospitals in order to make sure that we have supply to vaccinate people. Unfortunately, in Victoria, we only received about 3,500 doses last week. That's a really small amount in the whole scheme of things. We will be receiving more doses in September and we'll continue vaccinating at that time.
So have you identified those people whom you will be vaccinating first?
So the eligibility criteria for vaccination, we posted on our webpage at the end of last week. And they include the people that are currently high risk for monkeypox, which include gay and bisexual men, men who have sex with men, whether they're cis or transgender men. And it includes other risk factors that make them more likely to get monkeypox. And we've also included sex workers or people who might be homeless but potentially have other risk for monkeypox. So the initial eligibility criteria are very narrow. We imagine that in September we'll be able to broaden those criteria, but it will not be a vaccine that every member of the community gets.
So it won't be like the COVID vaccine that we are getting three doses, four doses. So it will be only restricted to people who are at the higher risk.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely correct.
I was listening to the WHO Director General yesterday. He was saying these vaccines are not very effective or there is not much data on the effectiveness of these vaccines. Is that true or do we really need to take other preventive measures?
So these vaccines were actually developed for smallpox. So smallpox, which is a very old infection that most people might remember. These vaccines are actually for smallpox, and monkeypox is in the same family as smallpox. But there is some evidence. A lot of it was evidence from Africa where monkeypox had occurred previously. We hadn't seen this much monkeypox outside of some African countries prior to now. And so the data from, you know, previous cases of monkeypox had indicated that the vaccine was pretty effective, more than 80% effective at preventing monkeypox if you have it before you're exposed to monkeypox. And we know that if it's given after you've been exposed, but very soon after exposure, within 4 days, that it can prevent you getting monkeypox. And now, because this has been going on for a few months, we're starting to collect more information, largely from North America and Europe, which indicates exactly the same thing, that there is, that it is a really pretty effective vaccine.
Dr. Friedman, should people who are at higher risk take the vaccines like the COVID-19 vaccine so that they don't get the infection, or should these vaccines be taken once you had contracted the monkeypox?
So I might answer that question backwards if you like. People who've had monkeypox don't need to be vaccinated. So if you've actually had infection with monkeypox, you don't need to be vaccinated. So ideally, for people that might be at risk of contracting monkeypox, it's advisable that they get vaccinated to prevent them getting infected. And the full vaccine course is 2 doses, and the doses are given at least a month apart. And if you have 2 doses, they're highly effective at preventing monkeypox infection. So that's what we recommend, a full course of vaccination for people who might be at risk.
How do we know that someone has got monkeypox? It could be a smallpox as well. So what if I had that doubt in mind that it could be a smallpox or it could be a monkeypox? What we should be doing in that case, are there clinics that test you for those diseases? And how do we approach them?
Yeah, so I guess the first thing to say is that we haven't seen cases of smallpox in Australia for over 100 years. So I'd be very surprised if it was smallpox. However, if people come in with symptoms that we think might be consistent with one of these infections, so spots on the skin that look like blisters, often with a fever and feeling unwell, they can be tested for monkeypox, and it gets sent off to the laboratory. And the test for monkeypox actually tests not only specifically for monkeypox, but it tests for the whole family. So if by some very rare chance it was smallpox, which I don't think would happen, it would actually detect that as well. So we've got testing being done every day of the week. It's being done in Victoria. We're getting results back very quickly. So if anybody has symptoms, they can definitely get tested quite efficiently.
Why I was saying the difference between smallpox and monkeypox, because a lot of migrants who come from the other countries, they had contracted smallpox when they were, you know, very young. So they would have that memory in their mind that they had something similar to that in the past. Now they're getting the same thing. So they might be getting confused that it could be smallpox and monkeypox.
So I guess one thing to say about migrants to Australia is that we know that migrants are much more likely to have been vaccinated against smallpox in the countries that they come from, because we stopped vaccinating in Australia in the late 70s. So really, and even prior to the late 70s, we didn't vaccinate everybody. What we know is that people coming as migrants may have been vaccinated with a smallpox vaccine when they were children overseas, and that will provide them with some protection against monkeypox. And that protection can last for decades. So it's possible that people who are previously vaccinated will be better protected.
Dr. Friedman, how would you say, let's say if we have a positive case in the family, so what is the advice for that person and for the family? How long they need to isolate from each other?
Yeah, so we give recommendations about isolation to cases of monkeypox, and we indicate to them that it's important for them to not share a bedroom with somebody else, and ideally not to share a bathroom with them, and that if they're going to be in the same room, that they should put a mask on and make sure that any spots they've got on their skin are covered. And the cases of monkeypox need to do that until all of the spots they have on their skin are healed and gone, and that can take up to 3 weeks, but it varies from person to person. For the contacts of monkeypox, we don't make them quarantine at home, so they don't need to stay at home, but we ask that if they work in a place that might be high risk, like in a hospital or in aged care, we make some suggestions about what they might need to do instead of going to that place of work, if there are options for that. And we tell them about the sorts of precautions that can be taken at home. But we have so far not seen any transmission within households when people have not shared a bedroom. So there hasn't been any spread so far.
Have you done a kind of modeling which says that by this date we will have, you know, this many cases, or, you know, usually we do it with COVID. So have you done a similar exercise with monkeypox?
We haven't done it yet, but we certainly intend to do it. And I think that will provide some very important information.
How well we are prepared to handle if the situation becomes serious in Victoria or in Australia?
So we've got very good contact tracing capacity to handle cases of monkeypox. We're engaging very closely with all of our cases of monkeypox, and we're vaccinating as many people as we can with the limited number of doses that we've got. So I think we're reasonably well prepared, and I think that this will be controlled. Even if the numbers do steadily increase, I think this will still be an outbreak that we are able to control. And that's what we've seen internationally, specifically in Europe. We're seeing that in the sort of month after they started vaccinating, they started seeing numbers already decreasing. And that's what we would expect to see the same thing here. So I think the most important thing for us is to receive our next lot of vaccine in September, and that will certainly help us a lot.
Dr. Friedman, any last advice for families, parents, or the larger community in Victoria or Australia?
Yeah, so I guess my message is, I don't want the people to be afraid of monkeypox. it's an infection that you need to have prolonged contact with somebody to acquire, and it could happen to anyone, but still in the whole scheme of things, it's a pretty uncommon infection in Australia compared to other infections.
Thank you, Dr. Friedman, for sharing this valuable information with us.
You're welcome.